Translation. By His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada ki. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu exalted Haridas Thakur, stating, at every moment you take your bath in all the holy places of pilgrimage, and at every moment you perform great sacrifices, austerity and charity. 191. Nirantara karachari veda adhyayana dvijanyasi haite tumi parama pavana. You're constantly studying the four Vedas, and you're far better than any Brahmin or sannyasi. 192. Aho bata svapachato gariyan yachchi vagre vartate namatubhyam te pustapaste juhushashnurarya brahmanuchur namagrinanti ete. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then recited the following verse. My dear Lord, one who always keeps your holy name on his tongue becomes greater than an initiated Brahmin, although he may be born in a family of dog-eaters, and therefore, by material calculation, may be the lowest among men, he is still glorious. This is the wonderful effect of chanting the holy name of the Lord. It is therefore concluded that one who chants the holy name of the Lord should be understood to have performed all kinds of austerities and great sacrifices mentioned in the Vedas. He has already taken his bath in all the holy places of pilgrimage. He has studied all the Vedas, and he is actually an Aryan. Purport. The word Aryan means advanced. Unless one is spiritually advanced, he cannot be called an Aryan. And this is the difference between Aryan and non-Aryan. Non-Aryans are those who are not spiritually advanced. By following the Vedic culture, by performing great sacrifices, and by becoming a strict follower of the Vedic instructions, one may become a Brahmin, a sannyasi, or an Aryan. It is not possible to become a Brahmin, sannyasi, or Aryan without being properly qualified. Bhagavad Dharma never allows one to become a cheap Brahmin, sannyasi, or Aryan. The qualities or qualifications described herein are quoted from Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd canto, 33rd chapter, text number 7, and were spoken by Devahuti, the mother of Kapiladev, when she understood the influence of devotional service, bhakti yoga. In this way, Devahuti praised the devotee, pointing out his greatness in all respects. O magyanati marandasya gyananjana shalakaya chakshurun militam jena tasmai sri gurave namaha. Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadhati Svapadantikam Jayasi Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shiva Sri Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Mukam karoti vacha lampangum langayate girim yat kripadam aham vande Sri Guru Dinotaranam Paramananda Madhavam Sri Chaitanyeshwaram Vanchakalpatarubhyascha kripasindubhyevacha Patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Hare Krishna. With the blessings of all the Vaishnavas and Vaishnavis, here, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is exalting Haridas Thakur. He was visiting Haridas Thakur when Haridas Thakur resided in Jagannath Puri every day. And Haridas Thakur, he felt very unqualified. He felt very low. So he told the Lord that, please do not touch me. I'm most fallen and untouchable, and I'm the lowest among men. And the Lord's response was, I wish to touch you just to be purified, for your purified activities do not exist in me. And in this purport that we heard just previously, Srila Prabhupada explains how the Lord is always eager to have the association of his devotee. And the devotee is always eager to have the association of the Lord. And the devotee is always in the heart of the Lord, and the Lord is always in the heart of the devotee. Now, Srila Prabhupada explains in that purport that they're one in purpose. They're one in purpose, but there will never be one in quantity because the devotee is small and the Lord is infinitesimally big, large. So now, today we're hearing that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continues his glorification of Haridas Thakur. And he's saying that at every moment you take your bath in all the holy places of pilgrimage. Pavadvida bhagavatas tirtha bhuta svayam vibho tirthi kurvanti tirthani svantakste nagadabrita. That the devotees of the Lord, because they are always residing where? They're always residing in the Lord. Their mind, their hearts are always with the Lord. So they're always residing in the most holiest of holy places, the Lord's holy lotus feet. And therefore, when you visit the lotus feet of a pure devotee, you are residing in the most holiest of holy places. We can see people are still eager to go to holy places. Have you been to Kumbh Mela? No? You should go. You should go. There's a big one coming up just now in January. The Maha Mela in Prayagraj. Last time I was there, 144 million people attended. And it really felt like 144 million people. So, and people are very eager to go to holy places because they want to be purified, because they understand I'm not pure and I'm living in Kali Yuga and I need to get all the blessings, all the purification I can get. So they're very eager to go there, yet how many people go to seek out saints and holy persons? Very few, very few. First of all, we don't know who are they. How do they look like? What do they do? How do they carry themselves? It's not like they walk around on the street, you know, with a big sign around their neck. No, they are usually very humble, very, very recluse. So how can we know? How can we know who is a holy person? When the inhabitants of Kuli Nagram ask Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, what should we do? After they got the instruction to bring silken robes every year to Jagannath Puri for the Ratha Yatra, then Mahaprabhu said, you should chant Hare Krishna and you should serve the Vaishnavas. And they asked, well, who is a Vaishnav? And Mahaprabhu said, someone who chants Hare Krishna is a Vaishnav. Hare Krishna! You're all Vaishnavas. So easy. And the next year, they asked the same question, not because they forgot, but because repetition of a good thing is a good thing, and they wanted to draw out a little more nectar. So Mahaprabhu said the same thing. You should chant Hare Krishna, and you should worship the Vaishnavas. And they again asked, who is a Vaishnav? And Mahaprabhu said, someone who constantly chants Hare Krishna, that is a Vaishnav. And the next year, they asked the same question again. And he said, that person, when you see that person, you start to chant Hare Krishna. That is a Vaishnav. So if you don't know whether you're Vaishnav, you don't know what is the efficacy of my chanting japa, because it's hard sometimes, right? Am I making advancement or am I just stuck? Then all you have to do is go out on the street and count how many people will say, Hare Krishna. And that gives you an indicator on whether you actually have transformed and you have changed your qualities. We were at Liverpool Station downtown, and there was a boy and a girl. They were in their 20s, early 20s, and they were very happy to see me. They said, Hare Krishna. And they're from Italy, from Milan. And I asked them from which place. And it's just right near the Piazza del Duomo, near the main church, the main dome. And the girl said that whenever I was a young kid, the Harinam is always taking place there. Whenever I was a young kid, then the Harinam came by and I was just singing and dancing and running towards them. And my parents, they just didn't know what to do because I was just always joining the Harinam. So she had a lot of association with the devotees and with the holy name. And so I asked her, would you like to take one of these books? And she said, of course, I want to help. Why? Because so much purification. so much association with devotees who have taste and faith in the holy name. So, and at every moment you perform great sacrifices, austerity and charity. What is the greatest of all sacrifices? What is the greatest of austerity and charity? What does Krishna say in the Bhagavad Gita? Among yajna, I'm what? Japa. Japa, japa, japa. So how is your japa? You need the jaw and the paw. The paw and the jaw. Japa. And how many people are doing japa? We went out to another station in London. There's a lot of tube stations, you know. There's a lot of people down there. Have you noticed? Have you seen the traffic jam on the M25? So, and one man, he came straight out of office, just was out to grab something and go back to office. And he saw us at the book table. And he just said, mala, 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 mala. That was his mantra, mala, mala. He was just so absorbed in chanting his mala. And yeah, I can sponsor a set. And he just sponsored a set and said, mala, 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 chanting. And he was glowing. He was effulgent. Effulgent, like the sun that you can't see right now, but it's out there. And he just went off back to the office. And I felt purified by the association of this person. Why? Because he's chanting with faith. And he is truly in union with Krishna. Have you ever met people on the street who were more Krishna conscious than you? Has this ever happened to you? No, never, right? It's not possible, right? It's illegal. Because, hey, I get up early, and I'm a good boy, and I'm chanting my rounds, right? And they're living out there and doing all the jobs that they do. No. Many of them, they're actually more advanced than we are. Yesterday we were doing Harinam downtown in Chinatown, and there was a daughter and a mother, both quite elderly, and they came over. They were like Middle Eastern, Egyptian or Iran, somewhere around there. And they came and asked me, what is it that you're doing? And I said, we're chanting God's names. We're praising God's names. And they stood there for as long as we were there. They stood there and were just smiling in awe and nodding and just appreciating the devotees. One time, I was in Toshkent, Uzbekistan, one of the stans. And we're in pant and shirt because it's a Muslim country since 350 years. So we went to a mosque, I mean, actually a tomb, a shrine of a Sufi saint. Sufis are like the bhakti tradition in Islam. And there was a person of that faith, and he was praying at the shrine very, very intently. And we were walking around just appreciating the architecture and the atmosphere, soaking it in. And after about 10 minutes, he got up and he walked over to us. And he said, today, by Allah's grace and by the mercy of this saint, you have come here to this holy place. I know that you're devotees of Krishna, that you're chanting Allah's name. And today is a very auspicious day because I'm inviting you because I'm allowed to invite you to my home to share a meal with my family. And I was just now praying at the tomb of this saint that may Allah remove all the obstacles on your spiritual path. May He fulfill all your spiritual desires. May you have taste in the chanting of the holy name of the Lord. And I thought, wow, this guy is in the zone. He's got it. He's there. He has understanding of bhakti. And then sometimes we are in our own places and people ask you, why have you come here? Who invited you? What is the purpose of your visit? And you go like, what went wrong here? What went wrong here? It says that if we're not happy on seeing a Vaishnav, then something is seriously wrong with us. And it doesn't matter which kind of Vaishnav. If I don't feel happiness in seeing a Vaishnav, just like Prabhuji, we were just together in Guyana, chanting and dancing, Hare Krishna. Huh? And I'm very happy to see him here. Huh? Very happy. So we should feel happiness in our heart when we see the Vaishnavas. Has it ever happened to you that you see a Vaishnava and you think, oh no, I don't want to talk to this person? Has this ever happened to you? Or is it just me? Huh? Oh yeah, I respect him, but you know, like, the spiritual world is a big place, right? He can be on that side and I'll be on the other side, right? Huh? If you still feel, oh no, this person, he owes me, or oh, this person done something wrong, okay, I'm very tolerant, but karma will get him. Huh? Have you ever thought like that? Or is it just me? Huh? Human conditioning is strong. It's strong. We have to work on this. Otherwise, no golokora premadana harinama sankirtana. Otherwise, we can't go on harinam. Because we think, oh, there will be this one and that one, and I don't like this, I don't like that. And you know, in Lord Chaitanya's times, there was all different types of Vaishnavas. One time in Jagannath Puri, we were there doing Ratha Yatra. We had Yatra there with my Guru Maharaj. And things got delayed. Have you ever had the situation in India that things got delayed? You have noticed, right? It is a possibility. So things got late, and they got later, and then they got very late. Huh? And the Lord took his sweet time to come out onto the rut. And then things moved very slowly. And the day was over, and he only had traversed half of Grand Road. And he just stayed there for the night on the rut. And just had a nice little, you know, camping out on Grand Road. And during that first day, there was many, many, many kirtan parties from all over Orissa and Bengal. And they were all dressed in different ways and doing kirtan in different ways. And it was very wonderful to see the unity in diversity. And the next day, everyone was gone because they all had tickets to go home. So they all went home. So the next day was ISKCON Ratha Yatra in Puri on Grand Road. There was just the ISKCON devotees, practically. And we did the end of the Ratha Yatra all the way to Gundicha. But it was wonderful to see the diversity and the unity that were very, very attractive. It was very compelling. What is the greatest austerity? The greatest austerity is not getting up early and taking cold showers. I did that in my boarding school in the Swiss mountains. So joining the ashram was easy. I was like, hey, the same, you know, there's no big deal. Huh? What is the greatest austerity? To tolerate cell phones ringing during class. What is the greatest austerity? Huh? To not have association of Vaishnavas, yes. That is the greatest austerity. That is the greatest tapasya. Huh? And you only notice it once you are in that situation, once you are somewhere just by yourself and you think, wow, I'm in the desert here. I need devotee association. Have you ever felt like that? Huh? So let us not let any of these little innuendos, these little differences, these little different opinions or different tastes or different views inhibit us from taking shelter of the association of the Vaishnavas. Because that is the holy place where Krishna resides. Now, His Holiness Chapit Thakur Maharaj and his team are going around and installing lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya all over India so people can avail themselves of the association of Lord Chaitanya. Because Lord Chaitanya is still, for the most part, not so well known in India. Huh? And we're going around, the devotees are going around all over the world to distribute Srila Prabhupada's books, to make Srila Prabhupada's lotus feet available to all living entities so they can take shelter of Srila Prabhupada's lotus feet and get purified, because Krishna is always with his pure devotee. Huh? My dear friend Sarvatma Prabhu, who joined in northeast Brazil, is originally from Argentina. When he was a young brahmachari back in the early 80s, he needed to go to the United States because his spiritual master was sick. and he needed to go to serve him. So he went to the American embassy in Buenos Aires, Argentina, to apply for his visa. And he went in pant and shirt. And his visa got rejected. And the next day he went back in dhoti and kurta. And he demanded to speak to the ambassador. So the lady came. And she was quite young, middle-aged. And she asked him, "My dear sir, what can I do for you?" And he said, "Yesterday, one of your less intelligent bureaucrats rejected my application. But little did he know that we are missionaries. I need to go there for a purpose to serve my spiritual master who's sick." In our tradition, service to the guru is very important. So I have helped him formally, and I need to go there to help him to gain back his health. So she said, "So you're not just going there to get a job like all the others? You're not just going to disappear?" He said, "No, we're missionaries. We always come and go. We travel." So she paused for a while. You know that moment of truth? You know that moment of truth, right? And then you just have time to say a little prayer in that moment. And then she looked at him. Jai, Sri Sri Radha Gokulananda Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Sri Sri Gauri Nitai Ki Jai. She looked at him and she said, "Okay, I give you the visa." And then as she got up from the desk, you have to understand, she's the top person in the country. She's the top American in the country. There's Marines, there's diplomats, there's secretaries. Under her breath, she leaned over the table and she told Sarvatma, "I read Prabhupada's Gita." And he took out of his bag a Prabhupada Lilamrita. He couldn't give it to her because that would be like a bribe. He took it out and he just left it on the table so she could pick it up later. Now you may ask, well, if she already read Prabhupada's Gita, why is she asking all these questions? Who are you and what do you do and is this legit? First of all, she's a kshatriya. And kshatriyas have to make sure that everyone is following their dharma. And she has to see, are you really who you say you are? You know that moment when people have the book in their hand and they look at the book?
And then they look at you?
And they look at the book and they look at you. And they see, is this the same thing? Is this a match? And if not, it's no go. How do I know that you are a Hare Krishna? You might be anybody just dressing up like a Hare Krishna. Like my older brother, Michael. He's a banker, then he worked for the airlines, then he went again to banking, then he retired. But back early in the youth, when I got into Krishna consciousness, he was still in school. And for, I don't know what they call it here, we call it Fasnacht, when people dress up, you know, and they put on different costumes and they pretend to be somebody. He dressed up as a Hare Krishna because his younger brother was in the Hare Krishnas. So he dressed up like a Hare Krishna. And I can guarantee you, he's not a Hare Krishna, but he dressed up as a Hare Krishna. So just the externals don't really give you an indicator. We go out on the street and we meet people every day and they tell you, "I'm a Christian, I'm a Muslim, I'm a Hindu, I'm a Jew, I'm a Hare Krishna." And what is our response? "What is your practice?" And then they say, "Practice? There is a practice?" And then they reach and get out some cross or some star or some om, or they show you, no, you see, like, you see, I'm a devotee. And then they say, no, those are symbols. You can buy that for £2 down on the market. What is your practice? Practice is what happens when no one is watching. What do you do when no one is watching you? That is your practice. Scary, huh? That is our practice. So, are we taking shelter in the holy places? Are we taking shelter of the lotus feet of the instructions of Srila Prabhupada? One time, some South Indian Brahmins had visited Vrindavan. And they saw the altar and they saw the murti of Bhaktisiddhanta and Srila Prabhupada, and then they came to Prabhupada's room and they said, "This is very bad. This is very bad. You're doing this all wrong here." Have you ever had people who came and told you, "You're doing everything wrong"? You know how that feels, right? So you don't have a clue. You're doing this all wrong. Because if your murti is there on the altar, people will come and they will pray. And their sins, their pap, their contamination will go on you. And Srila Prabhupada said, "Yes, that is the whole point." And they went. And then they became a little humble. And they realized, this is a saintly person that is living just to purify others. And they became quiet. And they just walked away. So there are so many people who are claiming so many things. But we have to know what is reality, what is tattva. That's why we have to study Srila Prabhupada's books. We can't just go by externals. Huh? We can't just go by externals. Otherwise we'll be confused. And what is the greatest charity? What is the greatest charity? Huh? What is it? Huh? Giving the holy name, yes. That is the greatest charity. But you can only give what you got. If I'm not really absorbed in chanting, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, then I won't be giving them the holy name. What I will give them? Well, I can give them my social media. I can give them my Kool-Aid, whatever it is that I'm high on, my own little noise that's going on, my own confusion. That's what I can share with people. But I can't give them the holy name if I am not fully absorbed in the holy name. So how much have I taken shelter of the holy name? How much am I convinced that this is truly the greatest gift? Golokera Premadana, Harinama Sankirtana. Huh? That comes through practice. And practice means practitioners. You have to have sadhu sangha. Because without peer review, you will not make rapid advancement. You will not know whether you're actually making advancement or you're just stuck or you're actually going back into the modes. You won't know because you have no frame of reference. You have no way to know. So we're very fortunate that Srila Prabhupada has given us this ISKCON society where we have ample opportunity for peer association. But unfortunate as we are, either we don't avail ourselves of this association or we think peers, there ain't no peers. Everyone is just junior. I don't have anybody on my level. Have you ever thought like that? Huh? Or is it just me? Huh? Thank you for your honesty. This is a good class, you know. So, it can happen, right? That all of a sudden we think, "Oh yeah, I'm the senior, or I'm the old guy, or I know a little more than other people." And then what happens? No more appreciation. No more appreciation of the devotees. No more appreciation of the holy name. All of a sudden, the holy name comes very difficult. You can't really chant with gusto. We can't really chant with taste, with devotion, because we're somewhere else. Our mind is making plans. Payam dvitiya binivesatasyad ishadapitasya vipario smritihi. Tanmaya buddhabhaje tvam. Last line. Matyam gurudeva tatma. Yes. Yes. Fear arises when we see something or someone as separate from Krishna. We were on the train and we had somehow, by the arrangement of the potency of the Lord, purchased tickets that were a week ahead, not for today, but for 7 days later. and And yeah, we were just worried. When will the ticket conductor come? When he'll he come and catch us? Huh? So the first one came, and somehow we used our bhakti points. You know, you have bhakti points from going to Mangalartik. We used our bhakti credit to somehow mesmerize that conductor, and they didn't notice and just said, "Okay, okay." But then on our way back, karma caught up with us. And he said, "Ha! Wrong date." And we've been exposed. We've been exposed. And lucky he didn't charge us a fine. He just charged us for the ticket, cost of the ticket. But we were not happy to see that conductor, because fear was there in the heart. We were seeing him as separate from Krishna. But nothing in this universe is separate from Krishna. It's all Krishna's energy. It's all Krishna's potency. So, if we take shelter at the lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada, which means taking shelter of Srila Prabhupada's instruction, taking shelter of Srila Prabhupada's followers, then we will not be fearful. Brahma bhuta prasannatma na shochati na kankshati samak sarveshu bhuteshu mat bhaktim lavate param. If you want to attain that param, that higher state of Krishna consciousness, na shochati na kankshati. So just let us introspect and look into our own heart. Is there still hankering and lamentation? Is it related to Krishna? Is it related to bhakti? Or is it just mundane stuff? So, Lord Chaitanya is exalting Haridas Thakur because he is the Namacharya. He's wholly and solely absorbed in chanting the holy names of the Lord. And by his own example, he's showing us that you can chant everywhere at all times if you are truly surrendered and dedicated to the holy name. It is not something that you do when you have nothing better to do. It is not something that you do just to do your duty, just to tick off the boxes. But it is our be-all and end-all. It is our ashraya. It is our shelter. Without the holy name of Krishna, we don't have any shelter. I wanted to read you something, but I got carried away. It can happen. There's a wonderful purport to this verse that we just read today in the third canto. Would you like to hear it? Yes. Thank you for your great enthusiasm. I know we're in Britain and people are a little more subdued. This is not California. Would you like to hear this purport? Yes. Oh, all right. We will read it. Again, the verse. Oh, how glorious are they whose tongues are chanting your holy name. Even if born in the families of dog eaters, such persons are worshipable. Persons who chant the holy name of your lordship must have executed all kinds of austerities and fire sacrifices and achieved all the good manners of the Aryans. To be chanting the holy name of your lordship, they must have bathed at holy places of pilgrimage, studied all the Vedas, and fulfilled everything required, purport by Srila Prabhupada. As it is stated in the previous verse, a person who has once offenselessly chanted the holy name of God becomes immediately eligible to perform Vedic sacrifices. One should not be astonished by the statement of Srimad Bhagavatam. One should not disbelieve or think, how by chanting the holy name of the Lord can one become a holy man to be compared to the most elevated Brahmana? To eradicate such doubts in the minds of unbelievers, this verse affirms that the stage of chanting the holy name of the Lord is not sudden, but that the chanters have already performed all kinds of Vedic rituals and sacrifices. It is not very astounding, for no one in this life can chant the holy name of the Lord unless he has passed all lower stages, such as performing the Vedic ritual sacrifices, studying the Vedas, and practicing good behavior like that of the Aryans. All this must first have been done. Just as a student in a law class is to be understood to have already graduated from general education, anyone who is engaged in the chanting of the holy name of the Lord, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, must have already passed all lower stages. It is said that those who simply chant the holy name with the tip of the tongue are glorious. One does not even have to chant the holy name and understand the whole procedure, namely the offensive stage, offenseless stage, and pure stage. If the holy name is sounded on the tip of the tongue, that is also sufficient. It is said herein that Nama, a singular number, one name, Krishna or Rama, is sufficient. It is not that one has to chant all the holy names of the Lord. The holy names of the Lord are innumerable, and one does not have to chant all the names to prove that he has already undergone all the processes of Vedic ritualistic ceremonies. If one chants once only, it is to be understood that he has already passed all the examinations. Not to speak of those who are chanting always, 24 hours a day. It is specifically said here, tubyam, unto you. One must chant God's name, not as the Mayavadi philosophers say, any name, such as a demigod's name or the names of God's energies. Only the holy name of the Supreme Lord will be effective. Anyone who compares the holy name of the Supreme Lord to the names of the demigods is called Pashandi, or an offender. Are you still with us? This is a long purport. We're about halfway through. Anyway, I'll tell you a little story in between just to keep you tuned. I was in Udupi in front of Krishnamath, the seat of Madhavacharya, and I was distributing books there. And one pundit, he came with a flock of his students, about 12 of them. And he was very healthy. You know what very healthy means? He was a big guy. And he had big tilak, big sika, big chadar, big pavitra, and big books on his arm. And I walked up to him, and I put a small book of Srila Prabhupada in his hand. And he looked at me, and all the disciples looked at me, and they went like, "Hey, this is our Guruji, this is our Panditji. What are you doing? Who you think you are?" So he looked at me, and he said, "What is your qualification?" I was a little surprised. That can mean many things. That means, what is your gotra? Who is your guru? What's your educational background? What's your qualification to talk to me? That can mean many things. And I was a little startled. What do you do when you don't know what to do? Have you ever been in such a situation? What do you do? Hare Krishna, yes. You say one little Hare Krishna. You say, "Krishna, if I've ever been a good boy, now is a good time for a miracle. I will use all my bhakti credits for this miracle right now, because this situation is not looking very promising." And I just said something. I just said, "Gopi Bharta Parakamalayor Dasa Dasa Nudasa," which means that I'm simply trying to become the humble servant of the 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 gopis, who are the servants of Srimati Radharani, who is the servant of Krishna. And he had a big smile on his face. And he went to his dhoti, and he took out something, and he gave me 10 rupees. And he said, "Good boy, keep doing the good work." And he went off with his big stack of books and one of small book of Prabhupada on top, and his disciples. And I thought, "Ooh, one more time saved by Krishna." So if you want an exciting life, go on Sankirtan. You will have plenty of excitement. You will have all kinds of situations that look impossible, but Krishna is making it very much possible. We can talk a little more, but first we want to finish this purport, because not good to get carried away halfway through. The holy name has to be chanted to please the Supreme Lord and not for any sense gratification or professional purpose. If this pure mentality is there, then even though a person is born of a low family, such as a dog eater's, he's glorious that not only has he purified himself, but he's quite competent to deliver others. He is competent to speak on the importance of the transcendental name, just as Thakur Haridas did. He was apparently born in a family of Mohammedans, but because he was chanting the holy name of the Supreme Lord offenselessly, Lord Chaitanya empowered him to become the authority, or acharya, of spreading the name. It did not matter that he was born in a family which was not following the Vedic rules and regulations. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Advaita Prabhu accepted him as an authority because he was offenselessly chanting the holy name of the Lord. Authorities like Advaita Prabhu and Lord Chaitanya immediately accepted that he had already performed all kinds of austerities, studied the Vedas, and performed all sacrifices. That is automatically understood. There is a hereditary class of Brahmins called the Smarta Brahmins, however, who are of the opinion that even if such persons who are chanting the holy name of the Lord are accepted as purified, they still have to perform the Vedic rites or await their next birth in a family of Brahmins so that they can perform the Vedic rituals. But actually, that is not the case. Such a man does not need to wait for the next birth to become purified. He's at once purified. It is understood that he has already performed all sorts of rites. It is the so-called Brahmins who actually have to undergo different kinds of austerities before reaching that point of purification. There are many other Vedic performances which are not described here. All such Vedic rituals have been already performed by the chanters of the holy name. The word Juhuvu means that the chanters of the holy name have already performed all kinds of sacrifices. Shashnu means that they have already traveled to all the holy places of pilgrimage and taken part in purificatory activities at those places. They are called Arya because they have already finished all these requirements, and therefore they must be amongst the Aryans, or those who have qualified themselves to become Aryans. Aryan refers to those who are civilized, whose manners are regulated according to the Vedic rituals. Any devotee who is chanting the holy name of the Lord is the best kind of Aryan. Unless one studies the Vedas, one cannot become an Aryan. But it is automatically understood that the chanters who have already studied all the Vedic literature, the specific word used here is anuchu, which means that because they have already completed all those recommended acts, they have become qualified to be spiritual masters. The very word grinanti, which is used in this verse, means to be already established in the perfectional stage of ritualistic performances. If one is seated on the bench of a high court and is giving judgment on cases, it means that he's already passed all legal exams and is better than those who are engaged in the study of law or those expecting to study law in the future. In a similar way, persons who are chanting the holy name are transcendental to those who are factually performing the Vedic rituals and those who expect to be qualified, or in other words, those who are born in families of Brahmins but have not yet undergone the reformatory processes, and who therefore expect to study the Vedic rituals and perform the sacrifices in the future. There are many Vedic statements in different places saying that anyone who chants the holy name of the Lord becomes immediately freed from conditional life, and that anyone who hears the holy name of the Lord, even though born of a family of dog eaters, also becomes liberated from the clutches of material entanglement. Srila Prabhupada ki. One time we were in Pushkar doing Harinam Sankirtan during the camel fair. Any one of you has been to Pushkar? You've heard of camel fair? It's the biggest, it's like the Kumbh Mela of Pushkar. There's over 1 million people in a small town and it's packed out. And I won't get into the story how we got there because quite an adventure. But there was about 8 of us, however many we could fit into a car, coming from Vrindavan through Jaipur. And we were just going out doing Nagar Sankirtan all day till our voices were almost gone. And there was tons of people. It's very small lanes, but just people everywhere, sea of people. And people were so much enamored, so much happy to see the Sankirtan. And then there was a travel agency, and I just walked in, and it was about 5 or 7 young very strong looking, you know, Rajasthani, Rajput type of gentlemen. And they were dressed very nicely in Western clothes. And they were very proud to tell me that we are Brahmins. You have nothing to tell us. You have nothing to give to us. And I said, you are Brahmins? Well, very nice. Let's see if you're Brahmins. What are the six activities of a Brahmin? And they were like, activities of a Brahmin? We never heard that. We never heard that. What could that be? And I said, yajan, yajan, patan, patan, dana, pratigraha. Now, you don't have to be a pundit or a scholar to know what those mean. But they were clueless. They didn't know. What does that mean? And I said, all right, let's make it a little easier. What are some of the qualities of a Brahmin? And they were clueless again. And I said, Shamo namastapa shaucham kshantirar javamevacha jnanam vijnanam astikyam brahma karma svabhavajam. Bhagavad Gita, 1842. And I said, what does it mean? And they said, we don't know. And I said, well, as a punishment, you each have to buy a Bhagavad Gita right now. And they took out their wallets and put down their 500 rupee on the table and said, all right, all right. Now we don't know these things, but because we have taken shelter of the instructions of Srila Prabhupada, because we have studied under the guidance of devotees who have taste for the holy name and for the Bhagavatam, somehow, we know these things that otherwise would be unknown. How many people do you see who are carrying some sort of mala? Right? You have seen, right? It's quite a fashion nowadays. And you walk up to people, and I have to catch myself, especially here in the UK, because there's so many people who have, like, you know, a little darker complexion, and you go, Hare Krishna! And they go like, and they just look at you. And then you go, Inshallah! And they go, Inshallah! And then speak Bangla with them, and they're all like in ecstasy. So, it's not externals. It's not externals. Have I taken shelter of the instructions of Srila Prabhupada? Srila Prabhupada said that you show your love to me in as much as how you cooperate when I'm gone. Now, most of our gurus are still here, but how much non-cooperation have we experienced? too much of that. And Prabhuji knows he's having the thankless task of trying to help with administration in Mayapur. How difficult is it? You want to have something difficult to do? Try to manage devotees. You want something more difficult to do? Try to collect donations from devotees. You will hear all kinds of funny excuses, all kinds of funny ideas, right? You meet people on the street all the time. They say like, yeah, I gave at the office, or I gave, you know, I said, when did you give? And they're like, God, I was like, 13 years ago, you know? So, taking shelter of Srila Prabhupada's instructions. One time when Srila Prabhupada was in Rishikesh, there were some industrialists who were there, and they requested to have a private audience. So Srila Prabhupada asked his servants and the devotees to leave, but Bhakti Churumaraj, he just pressed record on the machine. So they asked Prabhupada, who will be your successor? And Srila Prabhupada said, those who follow my instructions will be my successors. Because they thought he's going to appoint an acharya. They thought he's going to appoint an individual. But he said, those who follow my instructions, they are my successors. So if we want to be successors of Prabhupada, we have to study his instructions. And we have to apply them in our own lives. And that means cooperating with the devotees to spread the Sankirtan movement. And cooperation doesn't mean that everybody has to cooperate with me. That's usually the management's perspective of cooperation, right? You have to speak about cooperation. Whenever I arrive in a new place, which happens quite regularly, when I get picked up at the airport, I ask the people who pick me up, so what's going on? What's happening? And they always say the same thing. We have to get rid of management. Have you heard that brilliant idea? And then I always say the same thing. So you will do it? You will manage? And they say, no, we have to get rid of management. And it's always a good joke, you know, it's always good for entertainment purposes, because the opposition has no clue and no agenda for governance. All they know is we're against the establishment. But Prabhupada asked us to cooperate, because that's what we see in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Why is Chaitanya Charitamrita the topmost literature? Purushartha Shiromani. Why it is the quintessence? Because you see in practice the devotees applying the principles of the Bhagavatam and of the Gita and of all the Vedic literatures in their lives and cooperating together. You see multiple generations of gurus interacting with each other very friendly, very respectfully, very much in a Vaishnava environment. There was no such thing as pulling rank. Yeah, there was one, you know, Ramachandra Puri. He's there, you know, to show us what not to do. Don't you know who I am? I'm a god brother of your guru. But we have all these wonderful examples of Vaishnavas who are cooperating in a very loving, in a very respectful, in a very kind way. And that is the example that we should be following. Are we reading Chaitanya Charitamrita? Less than 10% of our congregation has the books. And also less than 10% have read all the books. And that is not a passing mark. Am I correct? Yes or yes? 10% is not a passing mark. You need to do better than that. It's not enough to just, oh yeah, I sat in class and I heard a few of those names. But when people were actually to ask you, who is this Haridas? Who is this Haridas? Where is he from? What does he do? Who is Prabhupada? Who is he? What's his full name? What's his life story? What has he done? So many devotees don't know that some of the Goswamis were working for the Muslim government, were ministers. They had families, they had wives, they had children. So many don't know. Why? Because we have to put in the effort. We have to put in the time and actually spend quality time at these holy places. The lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada's instructions, which means Srila Prabhupada's servant. We hear of Tapan Mishra, who was an educated Brahmin, but he didn't know the goal of life, nor how to attain it. Now, how can you be an educated Brahmin and not know the goal or how to attain it? Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur explains, he was worshipping the deity, he was chanting Hare Krishna privately, but he was not doing Harinam Sankirtan. He was not cooperating and collaborating with other devotees to expand the glories of the holy name. And he said that's why he was a Kanishtha Adhikari. And that's why he did not know the goal of life nor how to attain it. How do you know whether you're a Kanishtha, Madhyam, or an Uttam? Well, we gave you some indication. Another indication is that Kanishtas, they like to argue. Have you ever met people who like to argue and disagree? And they always know it better? You've met people like that? You do. They still exist, right? Madhyams are persons who are collaborating. They're working together. Okay, we got a common mission here. We want to give pleasure to Sri Radha Gokulananda. We want to expand this movement. And it's a big mission. It's a big country. There's a lot of people. The whole world is here in England trying to get back what they feel that the Brits have taken from them, right? With interest and interest on the interest. That's why there are so many people here in Britain. But you can look at it historically, sociologically, politically, but we look at it from a spiritual perspective. It is a wonderful opportunity because the whole world is here. Yesterday in Seoul, I was telling the story of Bali. How many of you knew Bali? Bali was from Nigeria. He was the son of the finance minister of Nigeria. And if you're a minister in government, you rule government. It's not like a minister in ISKCON, you know. It's like a Boy Scout badge, you know. They say like, yeah, you're a good kid, you know. You've done something. I can tell. I was a minister for 8 years. So where you have no men, no money, no nothing, and sometimes not even a clue. I asked my guru who called me to become, they said, jump on the next flight. We just made you the minister of book distribution. And I jumped on the next flight, and I went to Mayapur, and I asked him, so what's my job description? And he said, job description? We're not there yet. We don't have job descriptions. But don't worry, you're already doing it. So just keep doing what you're doing. And if anybody gives you trouble, send them to me. I'll take care of them. I said, okay, deal. We got a deal. We can do this. So Bali, his dad, was the finance minister of Nigeria. And Bali came to London to get his MBA. And what happened? Guess what happened? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Bali became a devotee. And his dad told him, you either drop this stuff or I will erase you from my will. And Bali said, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So he erased him from his will. When the man got old and he got very sick, he got very ill, and he needed assistance, he needed care. But none of his family members, none of his many wives and his many, 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 many children wanted to be around him because he was a tyrant, because he always got what he wanted. Everyone abandoned him. But Bali went to Nigeria and took care of his dad till his dad died. And his dad left him a few factories and a few estates and a few things. And Bali took those resources and sponsored the Harinam Sankirtan. He bought vans, he bought instruments, he paid salaries to devotees in developing nations who would do full-time Harinam Sankirtan. He said, I'll maintain you. You go out and do Harinam. I'll maintain you. And he did great service for the Sankirtan movement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So whenever you meet some confused kid out there on the street, just remember Bali, okay? These are kids from well-to-do families from all over the world who come to London, who come to England to study, to get their master's or PhDs or postdoc or just undergrad. And there's a great opportunity, but we need a team. Right now, I see tremendous potential. There's an immense asset of potential, of qualities, and of so much wisdom, so much knowledge, so much determination, so much love. But on the level of the teamwork, on the level of the national strategy or even local strategy, what happens after breakfast, or what happens after I'm not here? How will things go on? If we actually read the books that we distribute, and that's my last point, if we actually read the books that we distribute, what is leadership? Leadership is what goes on when we're not there. Like, we're not in Mayapur, but we're not worried because Mayapur goes on even if we're not there. Why? Because we put in a little effort to try to improve things and to help put the right people into place so that things can go better than when we were there, right? The only mandate of a leader is to train his successor. That is parampara. That is the only mandate. It's not to become famous. It's not to become wealthy. It's not to be well-liked. But it's to recruit, train, and empower the next level of leadership. And if they don't do that, then they have failed. You know that big F? You ever got a big F on your paper? You know how it feels. So let us put our heads and hearts together to make plans how we can learn love through cooperation. And Srila Prabhupada has given us ample opportunities. It is wonderful to see the stellar level of deity worship And last night we came in late and we saw all the cars and we thought, oh, what kind of a party is going on here? and the level of congregational development and how you take care of patrons. But sometimes we forget to take care of our own people, you know, those who are in the institution, who are working here full time. Sometimes we forget that. So let us meditate how we can actually take shelter of Srila Prabhupada's instruction, this holy place, this Tirtha, and in this way become empowered. Krishna Shakti Vinanahetara Pravartana. It is Krishna's potency that is spreading this movement. I don't care who your Diksha Gurus are, because I love and respect them all. Huh? But what interests me is, are you willing to play ball? Are you willing to take part in Harinam Sankirtan? That is what interests me. And we need everybody. We are hiring. We need artists. We need cooks. We need filmmakers. We need managers. We need fundraisers. We need bricklayers. We need doctors and nurses. We need truck drivers, security guards, cooks. We need everybody. Because it's a big mission. Srila Prabhupada built a house in which the whole world can live. Huh? He said, I have one disease. I cannot think small. Huh? I want to spread Krishna consciousness everywhere at once. That's a pretty big vision. That's a pretty big vision. There's a saying that if you have 1 year time, you grow rice. If you have 10 years time, you grow coconuts. If you have 100 years time, you grow people. Prabhupada got up every night at midnight to write 6 pages, translate 6 pages, to give us the textbooks for the next 10,000 years. That was Prabhupada's vision, 10,000 years. So you can see how far your vision is if you're not sure whether you have 20/20 vision or how good your vision is. Huh? How far can I see? Breakfast, lunch, dinner? Maybe get through the week, get through the year, get through my life? Or 10,000 years? That was Prabhupada's vision. If we want to expand our vision, we want to expand our capacity, we want to expand our impact, we have to take shelter of Srila Prabhupada's instruction and actually actively collaborate in this Harinam Sankirtan. And that means, yes, going out of comfort zone, venturing out into the great unknown, dealing with people who are from different backgrounds and cultures and ideas, and seeing what is that unity in diversity. How can I appreciate this person? And then you'll be surprised how people will pay you back in the same currency that you already extended to them. They will appreciate, and they will want to be part of what you got to offer to them. We have a few minutes for reflections. Adubar Prabhu is here. I feel humbled in his association. Any questions or comments? Yes. Do we have a mic?
I must say, I feel humbled in yours. We're not doing nearly enough to contribute. We see Prabhupada's example, which is the highest. He gave everything right to the end. And Prabhupada's last words that kind of fit with this class is that everything is acting, moving by the supreme desire of Krishna. This consciousness is Krishna consciousness. On his bed, the last. Some of the last translations. If we actually realize that, there's no hankering, there's no lamenting. But we still have to go out and work hard. Hare Krishna.
Thank you. Adi Guru Prabhu?
You were saying that like 144 million people go to Kumbh Mela, but not many people go and seek out the association of a saintly person, pure devotee. So then you said that one of the main obstacles, they don't know who a pure devotee is. So how will they recognize him? So what are the other obstacles, could you say?
Manda sumanda matayo, manda bhagi upadrita. People are lazy. They're distracted. Too preoccupied with petty things. All of that. But by association with a devotee who has taken shelter of Srila Prabhupada's lotus feet, which means Srila Prabhupada's instructions and the Sankirtan movement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that can become ignited. Just like Lord Nityananda. He went around and he dealt with people who were way, way, way outside of your usual target group. But he just injected that spark of enthusiasm in their hearts, and he fanned it, and he caught on fire. He was, and that's why we pray to Lord Nityananda that he may give us some of that potency, because a lot of people that you meet, they're spiritually like dead. You ask them, like, you know, yoga, meditation, this, that, the other thing, and it's just like flat, like no response. It's just blank. It's just, you know, dead. Not an inkling. Then I ask them, usually as a last attempt, are you human? Are you human? You know, like on the computer when you book a flight, and then it asks you, are you human? And I go, like, this is funny. AI is asking me, are you human? This is really funny. And then what? What's the next level? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Somebody has to have faith in the potency of the holy name. And then just extend themselves. Prabhupada didn't know how it's going to happen, but he had faith in the instruction of his spiritual master. When he stepped off Jaladuta, he didn't know whether he should turn left or right. Till some person came and said, okay, here's your bus ticket, and, you know, go on the Greyhound bus to Butler, Pennsylvania. It's a long ride. It's a long ride from New York to Butler, Pennsylvania. But Prabhupada had full faith. He was happy to start small. He was happy to collaborate and cooperate with people who were not following nothing. Sleep on their couch or sleep on their living room. Not complaining. So, but the greatest austerity is to cooperate with others. It's the greatest austerity. Because we already have our ideas. And we don't like to be challenged. Who likes change here? Only a wet baby likes change. Everybody else likes status quo, right? Status quo is still the most popular band, even in ISKCON. And anyone who comes and challenges status quo is considered a threat to the establishment. But we have to, or else we won't really be taking shelter of the instructions of Srila Prabhupada. Last point. Gopal. Okay. Just to remind us. I was walking in Govardhan with His Grace Burijan Prabhu, and he told me, Navina, there's something I wanted to tell you for the last 2 years. Bing, the lights go on, right? For 2 years, you wanted to tell me something. And what is that? Now is the most important time of your life because you're investing into your foundation. I was thinking, hey, I'm already doing this for 30, 35 years, you know. Now is the time to build my foundation? Yes, now is the time to build my foundation. Because if you want to put something of magnitude, then you have to have a very strong foundation. Then he said, question number one, who am I? I'm a servant. Question number two, who occupies the sacred space of your heart? Who's there? Your guru, Prabhupada, Radha Krishna, Who do I worship on the altar of my heart? Money? Fame? What is there? And number three, what is my contribution to this ISKCON society? What is it? What is my legacy? What is it that I'd like to be leave behind? And I then in concluding, while I walked back, I was meditating, okay, what am I willing to sacrifice? What am I willing to do to achieve my contribution? So those four are the ones that we talked about. Okay, for the close, Govinda.
And
then we're out of here.
Going back to your point, when you travel around, you meet people and they sometimes say, oh, we get rid of management. So my question is, this, that sometimes there are places in our society where there are problems with management, and then
sometimes,
yes, quite often, Chris,
and in some places,
yes,
not in this place,
and sometimes it's like it's quite a bad problem, and then you find 10 years later it's not been solved, and you think, well, Krishna's the supreme personality of God, and why does he like mix in all this little stuff in our society? Why does he not like solve it?
Well, first of all, thank you for your honesty. Don't shoot the messenger, okay? So, first of all, we have a rule. You are welcome to point out room for improvement, even to give criticism, as long as you're willing to be part of the solution. That is the condition. Because if we're not willing to be part of the solution, it's not constructive. It's easy to find fault. It's not easy to actually improve things, and then to actually voice it, to bring it out in a way that's not crushing. Or, but of course, some people, they will say, oh, you had some emotion there, you showed a little, you know, emotion, a little temper there in your speech, I saw you flared up a little bit, so dismissed, your case, your argument is dismissed. Oh, you got angry. Hell yeah, I get angry sometimes. I hope you get angry sometimes when you see atrocious things happening, right? Huh? But then what's the next stage? How do I engage my emotions and my upset and my anger? Do I have a way of channeling this and in a constructive way that it will actually be part of the greater good? And as far as why does Krishna do this to us? Krishna very mercifully shows us where we're at. Prabhupada said, Krishna could give you the whole world in 18 days. He gave it to the Pandavas. But right now we can't even take care of a few places. So maybe we have to improve a little bit on our team dynamics and our vision and our love and trust, which starts with open communication and cooperation. And then Krishna will actually empower us. It's been done before. It can happen. It can happen in our lifetimes. It all depends on whether we are willing, capable, the capacity that's inherent in us. Nitya Siddha Krishna Bhakti Sadhya Kabunoi Shravanadi Shuddha Chitta Koro Udoi. If we actually chant Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, 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 Hare Hare. What does it mean chanting Hare Krishna? It's not just my own little ritual for punya or to get rid of papa or to get moksha or you know, to get a new car or a job or pass the exam or make it through somehow. We're asking for grace. We're asking for mercy. We're asking for service. So what if they'd ask you to become the new GBC of the UK? Are you willing? No. We're hiring. We're hiring. Huh? It's a good mind exercise, right? And yes, we're very happy to have the kids here. We appreciate their enthusiasm. Huh? We're hiring on all positions. Because believe it or not, some of us do get older. Although I see some who are getting more youthful by the day. Huh? All this succession talk will be, you know, It's a generational problem. It's been there forever. So how can we... Yes, you got to ring that bell. Kids, show us. It's time to ring the bell. So thank you for your great attention and participation. And please bless us. We can always take shelter in the instructions and of Srila Prabhupada and the association of the Vaishnavas who are absorbed in chanting Hare Krishna and in expanding the glories of the holy name, following in the footsteps of Srila Haridas Thakur and all our Vaishnava Acharyas. Shri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Gaur Bhaktavrinda ki, Nitai Gaur Premanandi Hari Haribol. Thank you very much.